2024 Yakandanda Folk Festival was held from 22nd to 24th of March and once again boasted a mouth-watering lineup of local and international acts. Indigo FM's presenters staked out our studios to record interviews and live-to-air performances with a number of the artists. Here's an interview with Riley Catherall chatting to Tiff.
And this morning we've got Riley and Gabby here telling us a little bit about their music. Riley Catherall, he's part of the festival and, they've got up bright and early this morning to join us here in the studio and tell us a little bit about, what's going on in their world and musically in particular, kind of keen to hear about your journey, Riley, and been following your music for a little bit, which is, and the new album is fantastic. So
thank you.
And I got to see you yesterday at the Star Hotel early again.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was good. Yes, yeah. And you're very entertaining between the songs, I have to say.
Thank you. I have to balance out the sad, soppy set, you know.
Is that what it is?
Folk songs, yeah.
But your songs are very real, and I think, you write from a place of, you know, knowing it's, you sort of obviously pull things up from your own personal life, and I think that really connects with people, actually, to be honest. So, yeah, is that what, you know, you do when you're writing? Or?
Yeah, I guess so. I think, I spend a lot of time on the road and, that seems to be a bit of a crutch for my writing. I've moved out of home. I've got stories about my mum and my dad and growing up, you know, on the farm and moving to the Big Smoke. So I feel like a lot of people can sort of resonate with that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, certainly growing up in the country myself, It certainly makes a connection. That song that you wrote about Yas is, was just, great, you know. And I do this show called Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, so I really connected with what was the name of the road?
Dog Trap Road.
Yeah. Really connected with it. I could just visualise it. Yeah. It was just so real. It
sounds made up, but it's not.
Yeah, but that's that country childhood, isn't it?
You know?
So when did it, you sort of kicked off writing from an early age? And
yeah, I think so. I mean, like, there are songs that are probably in the Indigo FM system that, have, you know, I wrote when I was a teenager that shouldn't see the light of day anymore. But I guess it was one of those things that when I finished school, I was already doing lots of, you know, pub gigs, yelling Aussie rock songs, and realised I could make a living out of just playing music. And then it was through meeting, you know, a few people around the traps. Richard Perso, for one, you know, obviously a local legend.
Yeah.
Singing their own songs and writing their own material, that I thought, oh yeah, I feel like I might have something to say, so give it a whirl. And moved to Melbourne about 9 years ago and sort of found the scene where people are writing old country folk tunes and singing it, and I've been there ever since.
Melbourne's a great city to be in musically, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of support. I feel like everyone goes down there and just, I don't know, the generosity of the music world, do you find that?
I think also more than anything, that, you know, there's music on every night of the week. So it took me a little while when I first moved down there to sort of find the scene that I was meant to be in. I think I spent 12 months without actually playing a show, just sort of going around and seeing all the different scenes, and knowing that when I started, I, you know, wanted to go hell for leather and not stop with it. So lucky that I found the small little sect in, between country music and folk music in this old country Americana thing. So good little scene down there.
I do find, your music is that, it goes across folk and country. It's it's quite beautiful the way you write. Do you have heroes that you kind of?
I mean, I grew up with a lot of James Taylor, and I think him in particular, he sort of bridged the world between, you know, even really good Tin Pan Alley songwriting, you know, and pop music and a bit of country music, and, you know, there's a bit of jazz in there as well. So I think he was a good cornerstone for sort of going, hey, you don't have to be folk or you don't have to be purist country music. You're allowed to sit somewhere in the cracks, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. And John Prine? Or?
John Prine, yeah. I think, like, I discovered all of those, you know, mega songwriters a bit later. You know, Carole King and Joan Baez and John Prine. And then later on, obviously, Jason Isbell's a big influence as well, and people like that. So, yeah. But, the, you know, they all come from... I mean, John Prine is obviously a big one for, I guess, being, you know, the master in good... concise 3.5 minute storytelling songs.
Yeah, I think the Town storytelling. Van Zandt, you know, yeah, yeah. And I get that your music is such a strong storytelling element too, as well. And melodies. I just think you've got the most beautiful melodies.
Thank you. Yeah. I think, like, I don't know. I don't take compliments well, so I was about to crap on. But yeah, I love, you know, being able to connect with people, and I think that if you can make people feel things, that then you've done your job well. And I think that the first thing that people listen for is the melody, because you know, they don't have to listen to the lyrics. Lyrics come second, I think. But yeah, I think putting a real focus on making sure that they live in the same world together and work together, and that sort of is what you should be building songs around.
Yeah, it's quite powerful because they actually stay in your head. So, yeah. I find your lyrics just come into my head at different times just because of the melody. Sorry. Like, it's like, okay. So, but, you know, that's me. I listen to music all the time, but I'll just love it when singers, musicians' words just become part of my day-to-day.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So you've got one other show coming up here at Yak. And
We're playing at midday down at the Bottom Pub. Which we were there yesterday afternoon. It was a great time. Sound was really nice down there. Roger did a great job with us down there, and there were some dogs there, so that was excellent. So if that sounds like your bag, yeah, come on down.
It's a very relaxed festival like that, isn't it? You know, I just love the way everyone's wandering around, and kids and dogs, and
it's funny, like that stage as well, like because there's no solid backdrop to the stage. You have the people walking behind you, so it's almost like your 360 stage.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good.
Yes. I loved your little impro yesterday about, you know, the keg solo.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I find folk festivals are so earnestly raw, you know, where it's like, you know, what gazebo are you playing under today, you know? And that means that you've got the birds flying above and you've got kids running around on their bikes and, yeah, old mate Steve pulling a keg up the hill to refill the bar. It's good.
That's true. They all make the moments, don't you? But it's memorable that
way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And no doubt you've played at a lot bigger festivals. Is there, what's your touring been like?
Touring, you know what, I used to do a lot of the folk festivals years ago, but it's been a few years. It's really nice to be back into them, but we were up in Cobargo a couple of weeks ago, which was nice, and Malden down in down further south is a favourite of ours as well. But touring wise, yeah, I don't know. I spend a lot of time overseas, which is a lot of fun. I just find the folk festival thing is really good, because you have a real dedicated audience who, you know, it's like this big traveling gypsy circus that go to all the folk festivals,
right.
And they just love sitting down and listening to music, because otherwise in Australia, I think traveling between places, it's such a long slog, so it often puts people off actually touring in Australia, whereas obviously in other countries, the you know, you can travel 45 minutes and be in another major city. So I think the folk festival thing in Australia is just, it's really harnessing the ability to get people together constantly.
Yeah.
Listen to original music. It's great.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's growing a little bit now post-COVID too. It feels getting bigger. I don't know where the Australian population is just getting into their
Well, I think also
vans and
I know whatnot. Especially after COVID, or even during COVID in Melbourne, a lot of people were moving out to the, you know, the little artsy towns on the outskirts of the city. And I mean, Yakandanda has obviously been, like, you know, the ultimate artsy town for such a long time for people. But yeah, a lot of people were heading out of Melbourne to, you know, Dalesford.
Like relocating.
Relocating and Kyneton and all Castlemaine, those places out. Out in Macedon Ranges. And so I feel like all of those little folk festivals that live out there all of a sudden had a younger demographic of people, you know, finding themselves interested in folk music as opposed to what perhaps the major cities sort of offer. So
yeah,
maybe that's part
and
of it.
And new
as well.
Ones popping up. Are you doing the Stars and Bars one?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, Heathcote, isn't
that
it?
One's an interesting one because it's actually a travelling festival.
Oh, right.
So you can either opt to buy a ticket on the bus and go around to all the different, you know, because so they go to a couple of wineries and stuff, and they have an artist at each winery, and you sit down, you have a few wines. So it gives, the, you know, lots of different venues some business. And, for that particular one, we're playing at the final stop, I believe, with the band, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love the lineup too.
Yeah.
Great lineup.
Some cool people in that.
Yeah, that real old country.
Yeah.
Country sound. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the album? Or I know you said yesterday you had more songs coming.
So I put When I Go Out, that was maybe 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and just about to drop the second record in about 3 months' time.
So, oh, wow.
My brain has been in... It's funny, you know, like all these songs have been kicking around for a couple of years now, and you go through different stages. I've just sort of signed off on the fun part of writing and recording all the songs. Now it's about how do we put them out.
Yeah.
So the business brain is occupying my head at the minute.
And do you have the luxury of choosing producers and things like that? Or
yeah, this time around, I did a lot of it myself. Gabrielle also helped me out quite a bit. And it was less about, you know, blocking out studio time and going into a studio and, you know, hashing it out. It was more so about, hey, as long as we can get the right take, if that happens over a period of 6 months at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, one night, or whenever the feeling hits, that was more important to me this time. Because I think, like, in a world where, you know, sales are diminishing as well, and people can just attain music so easily, no one's really making a lot of money out of selling records anymore. So I realized that I had to actually enjoy the process of putting the songs down first and foremost. Not that I don't, but this time it was about, okay, I want to be able to listen to this music later on and remember how we put the songs down and look at that fondly as well.
That's an interesting point, isn't it, about, you know, sometimes money's not coming in the usual ways, but at the same time reducing your outgoing costs.
Yeah.
And I see some artists, you know, doing, just going somewhere quiet with a four track and recording,
totally.
So not necessarily putting a huge amount of money into that side. Obviously, it's great to have a good sound at the end of it. I went to see John Craigie just recently. I don't know if you know him, but anyway.
Yeah, we've been kicking around with John.
Oh, have you?
Voice,
He's a great songwriter too.
He's a great songwriter.
Yeah. But yeah, like just listening to some of the videos and stuff that they put out, you know, just live recordings. And and your live, you know, presence is very true to your music as well. So, you know, capturing that
feel. I think this time it was about, you know, because I feel like a lot of people had seen us play in the last couple of years. And I mean, the first record, everything was pretty raw and true to the sound. But once you play these songs over and over and over again and in different iterations, like when I'm doing it solo or doing it with a duo, like they live in different worlds. So this time around, most of the tracks that we recorded this time were put down live, you know, the whole band in the room together. Which, you know, warts and all, sort of has that rawness and the character of not being perfect sort of makes it human.
Mm.
And I feel like recently, I don't know, like, you know, the last couple of decades, people were just so fascinated with getting the perfect polished take that it almost took the, you know, the humanity out of the songs. And when you're trying to connect with people, you want to relate to them on a level of, you know, real human connection. And so I think if I, you know, stuff up a bit on the guitar or if my voice breaks, I feel like that helps connect with people a little better than, you know, this real polished, squeaky clean recording is just a little too perfect to consume.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that. I hear sometimes when people do, they leave a little bit of talk or chat at the beginning and the end. You know, it's my capturing that live.
It sort of brings people into the room a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating. Anyway, the whole world of being a, you know,
overthinking everything.
Well, we should jump into a track. I've got a couple on here if you feel like me playing one of these. I've got Bark at the Moon.
Oh, yeah, do that.
do that one. You like that one?
I like that one.
Okay. I'll see if I...
changed enough. I'm a broke down believer on the platform beneath her, counting down the departure times above. Hey, you with the Samsonite, down on the tracks to go anywhere. You're a runaway, gone before it began. Oh, but honey, I still bark at the
was Riley Catherall with Bark at the Moon. So a fantastic track that came out a year or so ago. But Riley's producing music all the time. And she's just put out a song last Friday called Coming Over. Yeah. Thank you. Which I've had a listen to. It's fantastic. Great, great new music coming out. And also just want to introduce Gabrielle Parker, who's in the studio with us today.
Hello.
Hey, Gabrielle. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and, what you do with your music?
So I'm also a songwriter. I have been heavily inspired by Riley. I've been fortunate enough to play with Riley for the last, 6 years now?
It's been a while. Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a scaredy cat, so I'm still working on the courage to put everything out into the world, because it's all very vulnerable, personal, intimate songwriting, and that's a bit scary, but Riley likes to give me a little nudge, and that's very, very helpful.
So. People need to hear it. It's infuriating sometimes.
Well, you've got a beautiful voice, and I love the harmonies that you guys achieve together. It's really, really special and adds another dimension to the songs, I think. Do you think that's good, Riley?
Yeah. Oftentimes, people come up to me after the show and they go, oh, love your songwriting and guitar playing is excellent, but let's be honest, Gabrielle's the star of the show. It's like, yeah, it's all right.
You're going to put me out of a job.
I'm just, yeah, keeping Gab around and do you figure out, you know, you're better than singing harmonies for me.
It's hard when the songs are so good and you're so lovely. Like, you know, you don't get that every day.
Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing you perform a song, Gabby, so that would be great. Do you play guitar as well?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, awesome. And, okay, well, what's up next? What's your touring schedule after this?
It's pretty... I'm just about to put this record out, so I'm going to drop a couple of singles before that happens in late May, which is really not that long far away.
No.
And then I immediately head overseas for a couple of months. I've got a pretty big touring schedule over in the UK and through Scandinavia for a couple of months, which will be fun. Playing a couple of different tours, actually. I'm doing my tour and I'm playing for a band called The Pleasures, and also for Alan Fletcher, which would be fun. And then I'm going to get back to Australia and tour the record for until the year is out.
A lot of music.
Fun's just about to start, yeah.
And Lachlan, I love his music as well. And
yeah.
He's obviously enjoying being over in the UK.
I live with him. And I haven't seen him. Oh, because I play in the wilds as well. So but I haven't seen him in 6 months. So.
I know. I think he's loving London or something. Yeah. He's not coming back.
He's everywhere else.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Though he was back recently.
Yes, yeah, he was back.
Yeah.
Ships in the night, him and I are.
Okay. Well, it'll be great that you're touring together and heading over to the summer in Europe.
Yeah. Yes. We try to make a habit of skipping winter here.
Yeah, that's fabulous. All right, well, you can catch Riley and Gabby today at 12 at the Yak Hotel for another set.
That's it.
Beautiful songs. Thanks, guys, for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here and chatting about your music.
Yeah, thanks to Chris and the committee for having us, and to you and to Indigo FM. I know how much work you guys do around here, and... I keep getting the notifications that you guys are playing my tunes, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, we love your music up this part of the world, but so do so many people. So, yeah, it's great to have you out there. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And
no worries.
We'll catch you at your show.
Will do.
All right.